Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in Count is called Red Self-Existing Earth, and it is the fourth day of the White Wizard Wave Spell, and it is also the planetary moon day 12. And let's start there. The planetary moon, the moon of manifestation, is in its second week, but close to the end. There are 4 weeks, there are 7 days each, just like our regular weeks, which makes it so effortless. So we have 1 week that starts in the east, the place of our mind being ignited with fire, illumination, new ideas. And then we move to the north, where our ideas and the fire in our mind is sort of pacified and calmed by the spirit world. I think it's blessed. I also think it's sort of honed. Spirit uses its influence to kind of calm us down and get us directed towards maybe one more spiritual intent. And then we move into the west, the place where transformation seems to happen pretty fast and intensively, and that is the third week, so day 15 to 21. And then finally, things come into manifestation in some kind of physical way in the final week, and that is always in the south, earth, the place of earth, and the west is the place of water and emotions, and the south is the place of earth and body. So I'm saying that because I think one of the strongest messages I have is we're going to, before I next broadcast or podcast, be entering the third week of our moon, the planetary moon, and going into that place in the west, which, you know, I wouldn't preach this if I didn't really believe it. And I guess it's almost sometimes cautionary that the third week to me is the one with the most demand on our resilience. And I think it can feel overwhelming or rapid fire crescendoing change can sort of sweep through us and make us raw. It's kind of like turbulence, I guess, and can feel uncertain, but it is always a process that takes us from a really benevolent spiritual blessing that's been happening this past week, and spiritual influence is infused, to an entrance into our body that is natural. So what I think happens in the final week of the moon in the south is that things are embodied in a way that, you know, they come into our body or they come into reality, you know, a tangible physical reality in a way that is a resolution. So things are resolved in the final week of the moon, but always, you know, in the plot line of great literature and movies and et cetera, there's a lot of activity before the resolution. There's a lot of drama. So that's it. It's the week of drama. But the drama is necessary. The upheaval, the shift, the insight, the, you know, kind of rapid growth is what gets us to integration in the body and resolution and peace. So there's peace that comes from the divine realm right now. And then it has to get into our body. And it probably has to kick out things that live in us that are non-functional. That's part of the transformation and alchemy of the transformation in the West is well, what's in our way of having the same kind of peace that exists in the heavenly realm as in our physical one, physical body or physical form, as well as our physical reality, i.e. life on earth. So we're going to do that. And I'm mentioning that because the planetary moon is already a time when manifestation is happening. And it is a time when physical planetary existence is being, you know, pressed into us. We're being formed by this realization that we're not ascended beings, that we are earth and sentient, and we're being reminded of what we have to face here on earth. And I mean, I say this over and over so that it does sound kind of like shtick. I believe it. Experience it. And I guess I kind of want to do a little bit of storytelling, just enough. It's kind of like shrugging off some of the stress. And you know, every day we have sort of a static life, a different kind of stillness. And then I think some days we also have points of upheaval where our static experience, like everything's sort of the same, it's either depressive or it's peaceful and quiet, but it's very repetitive. And I think that there's a lot of perfection in all of that. You know, when we don't get to use our free will to say, well, this is what I'm doing today, but we're relegated to a smaller sample size of choice. I think there's a lot of purity in that purification. But then for all of us, adjusting and being, you know, surrendering to it will have its hiccups. And I had made, I thought, a pretty impressive getting the hang of Instagram stories like an 11-year-old. You know, my maturation process is quickening a bit, but I am still a beginner. But I felt really excited about being able to articulate as we went into yesterday's Yellow Electric Warrior, like, wow, people are already getting to little breaking points of incivility. You know, it's wearing on us to keep our chin up and cheerful. And, you know, some people haven't been cheerful at all. Some people have been in terror. Some people have been in actual crisis, you know, physical crisis, or losing people to the pandemic in a much more realized way than I am, for instance. But each of us on our little arc of evolution facing coronavirus are going to have our peaks and valleys and our explosions. And I was aware, like, Yellow Electric Warrior is a yellow warrior day. And, you know, how's it going to blow? Where is the war going to occur? And, you know, mine happened at like 5 p.m. in the early evening. So I had this whole day of really feeling the fortitude of Yellow Warrior, the perseverance, the courage. And then, you know, I had to go out and be on in the battle in one aspect of my life. And, you know, what gave me strength and courage was the calendar, because, you know, it was just perfect. Like, wow, here is this relationship, and it's in conflict. This relationship that has been, you know, let's just say, like, it's not an active part of my quarantine life, but the reappearance of someone with a kind of aggressive stance. I had already made my Instagram story about that. And, you know, watching and catching myself, like, how much aggression do I want to return? You know, do I want to escalate this battle or not? And, you know, my truth is that I'm tired of fighting, that there are times when I have to fight because I'm standing up for something I believe in, or it's just impelled, like some kind of demon from within, maybe an angelic presence from within. But, you know, the fight has to happen. And then as I fight in some sense to surrender to what is and fight my own ego from taking over and being in judgment of what is, i.e. the lockdown and all the surrounding financial travails, then I just am like, oh, I don't want to be in a fight here. I'd rather admit, you know, my deficiencies. If someone's attacking me, I would rather say, yeah, I actually agree with that point, and then bow out. And so I putting this sort of into the podcast in the form of like, it's just the planetary moon. It's just the planetary moon, meaning there are going to be challenges that feel pretty large jammed into this moon, and especially going into third week. And it has to do with what I sort of spoke at length about last podcast, which is that the planetary moon is a revisitation of the lunar moon that happened at the front end of the year. The planetary tone is always a revisitation of the lunar tone that began in the wave spell day two. And the reason is because when we identify our challenge in the lunar tone, we meet our challenge again as we cross over it in the planetary tone. You know, basically we integrate what was challenging in the lunar moon throughout all the tones that, you know, come between. But when we get to the planetary moment, it is like the last hurrah of the challenge. It's a reminder of where we started, the difficulties, but almost all of us in most aspects are going to feel like, yeah, and it's not the same. It floored me. It was such a challenge in the beginning of this year that I couldn't take any action. You know, maybe it was something that hurt us, or maybe it was something that hindered us, but we were paralyzed in some way or perplexed. But when we get to the planetary moon, it all happens again, and we see like, no, I've grown so much. It's not like we're victors, but we have met the challenge. Like, we have risen to the challenge. That's the perfect phrase. The wave spell is rising to the challenge and letting the challenge become our strength, that it carries us to this great height, and then we're going to just ride right over it and let it go. So really, we release the challenge energy, the karma of whatever was our fate to be challenging to us, either to be difficult or forcing us to grow or both, in this planetary moment. And in the spectral one, it's all sort of forgotten as we turn topsy-turvy and fall back to Earth. Like, we no longer can make assign labels. Like, that's really challenging and that isn't it. We lose the negotiation with this karma soon, in a couple of weeks. But right now we're in the thick of it. And it is, I think, meant to really reestablish for each of us, like, no, you really have evolved since the beginning of this year. And this year delivered a prophecy for you in the magnetic and lunar moons of what your purpose is and what your challenge is. And you have been working with that formula through all the ensuing moons, and strengthening through support of a divine influence, you know, your higher power. You've been getting organized. You've, you know, opened up spaciously in the resonant moon and then done integration, and you've set your intention in all of that. And so when we meet our challenge again in the planetary moon, we are different. We have been changed. We have, you know, grown. We grew to meet this challenge, but we're going to see it again. And that's exactly what my conflict on yellow electric warrior represented to me. It was just like, well, this is the same kind of dynamic that's been, you know, revisiting me all year. And where I'm at is different than where I began. And I guess I won't drag this out into details. So back in the beginning of the year, I asked you to identify your challenge with some notes. And so it would be helpful if you have those notes to look at them now and see if there is relevance to them now that we're in the planetary moon, as I've described. So we'll talk again in the middle of the blue western week of the planetary moon, but I just really feel like I kind of put that Instagram story about the yellow electric warrior day out, like a day where aggression might start, you know, flaring up as we feel trapped and, you know, need to let off steam. Just be cautious with your own behavior and who you're around, because it's going to happen perhaps. And it was a kind of predictive piece. That's what this is as well. Just be kind to yourself. We're all trying to perfect our year's ambitious aspirations for, again, evolution. And that's a perfect word. I keep saying evolve, evolution, evolve, evolution. I can't find a synonym, and that's great because the Red Earth Day, Red Self-Existing Earth, is all about being in an evolving state. And there is synchronicity associated with Red Earth as well. But I want to reference mostly therein the White Wizard Wave Spell. That's sort of like the larger picture of our daily change in the Dzogchen days is that we're in the White Wizard Wave Spell. And what is so powerful about White Wizard, it makes me so excited that this is a 13-year experience of the White Wizard, is living in magic, living in the alchemy of a magical experience. You know, I don't know how to explain it, but, or do I? I've over-explained it in the past, so maybe I just don't know how to make it a new explanation. But come on, the synchronicity that's associated with the Dzogchen days. You know, my eternal example is dreaming about people in the waking morning hours, you know, right before waking, dreaming about people whose day it is. They're a Red Earth person or a self-existing person. Like, that is the best. And it proves to me that the unconscious is threaded to the calendar and that I don't have to, you know, there are ways that uncontrollably I am so devotional to these cycles that they appear in my psyche. So I think in the White Wizard time, this wave spell, you're going to be watchful that life, again, plays out. The easiest metaphor for me is like a fairy tale where there are like appearances of guides and magic pebbles and things that just don't fit into linear everyday living, you know, our narrative. They exist in the TV shows we watch, but do they in our lives? And the answer is more and more so, or at least in my life and people I know, you know, they speak the language of like, I can't believe that happened, you know, as if things are lining up to be synchronic for many people. But the White Wizard time, which is this wave spell, this year and this 13-year wave spell, is delightful for this sense of there being an enchantment that we're all caught in. So again, I had asked each of us to view the first day, White Magnetic Wizard, as a microcosm of the year. But the whole wave spell is a microcosm of the year. It's the White Wizard wave spell. And so it is 13 days that sort of reiterates the themes and highlights of the year so far. And I think it's really poignant or powerful to look in terms of, you could say, global events or your own national events and see that some things are happening that are an augury for the larger year and even 13 years. And I'm going to give an example again. I live in Southern California. I'm lucky to be a Californian. I may have said, but I don't think I've looked up his birthday, but the governor of the state is someone I went to high school with. And so for me, having known him peripherally, if not intimately, it's just like there is a certain trust or familiarity about him. Like, that's Gavin from basketball. And so I am really loving that he seems super intelligent and capable of handling the crisis that we're in. And in fact, California has been massively spared of the disaster and horror that have, you know, been so heartbreaking for other parts of the planet and the country. And maybe the fact that we deal with wildfires and earthquakes and, you know, other natural disasters. There were mudslides that killed 22 people in my immediate city a couple of years ago. Just a horror, just a horrible, horrible thing. There were fires in Northern California that killed like 70 people also a couple of years ago. And we just have grappled with a certain form of surrender and also, I think, have had good governance. So we are able to maybe, you know, surrender in ways that cynicism isn't and corruption don't make it possible other places. But in any case, I'm in a place of surrender and acceptance of the government where I live. I mean, that's the story that I'm telling. Just like, well, I mean, I feel like I can trust the guidance. And that is such a parable of profound change and hope when one also lives in the United States under the deeply disturbing karmic infiltration of Donald Trump and the people that he surrounds himself with. Like, that has been an absolute nightmare for years now. So here in the White Wizard Wave Spell, there is this very epic showdown happening between truly like evaluative forces of good and evil. And that is what enchantment represents to me when I use the fairy tale metaphor. Fairy tales are very strikingly plain spoken. There's bad guys and good guys, or the hero who's usually pretty innocent, but then, you know, dragged through the coals by all kinds of hardship and threat, finds these little bastions of security and reassurance and magical power along the way, and ultimately prevails. And I can't know the outcome, if it's positive, in what way, in what timeline, but it feels really good to be in the fairy tale and find in this wave spell the forces of darkness and light, and the challenge of the dark forces, while also, as I even said, using my example of my yellow warrior day, we're just like, I just want to reach toward the light. I just desperately need light. I've had enough dark forces. I want out of this forest. I need a guardian angel of some kind, you know, to slip something in my hand that's a potion or a tincture or a power object to get me to a better place. And then the other thing I've noticed about the White Wizard Wave Spell that seems relevant is just living in timelessness. I also spoke about this last podcast. I think the last podcast can be listened to if you haven't heard it already. It's not outdated at all yet. And that's because it talks a lot about what timelessness is and how one of the things I expressed to my daughter, who's a yellow seed, and therefore this is her antipode wave spell, her opposite and challenging wave spell, is just, you know, there is a way right now to feel the possibility and like the musculature for time traveling all the way forward to when the worst part of the pandemic is behind us and we're putting our lives back together. And instead of living in a disaster or, you know, a time that is a critical problem for the whole globe, we're in the aftermath where we're finding out as survivors in different ways to different degrees who we belong with, who we're going to recollect from before, you know, like finding each other after a storm. And that if you need any reassurance right now, you can kind of time travel. Like, you can imagine that that's so, because this thing came sort of out of nowhere and took over, and it took over in all realms of life, like all aspects, all parts of the world, you know, in totality. I mean, that's not true. Parts of our lives were not touched. But I guess what I mean is it was a natural disaster. It is a natural disaster. It doesn't originate because any one person is wrong, etc. And it's lasting a long time. When it's over, we're all going to emerge sort of innocent. Something came and washed through us, but, you know, we're collectively innocent. I think I'm speaking in shorthand, but these are just guesses at a way of seeing yourself timelessly in, you know, imagining the future is now in a way that's true, because that's what White Wizard delivers. The past is now, the future is now. Timelessness is not as abstract as it sounds. It just means that you can be in all times at once through your imagination or even your will, your divine will. Like, I would like to know what it feels like to be this far down the road, and I believe you'll get an answer, and actually I feel a kind of physical reassurance accompanying that answer. We will be on the other side of this, and there will be a return to normalcy that's probably, you know, enriched by the suffering we've been through. Sense of relief and release and collective anxiety is abated, and there's, you know, open-heartedness as we have had to exercise all this tolerance. So we're becoming more tolerant people and then kinder, perhaps, for a while. Like, I think that that's a very logical outcome. I know that there's like an Armageddon outcome that you could travel to, but I encourage you or invite you to actually play it out and see, well, what do you think my life will be like when you know, it could be years from now if we're talking about depression era economic collapse, but like, what do you think your life could be like when this ebbs? I just think it's a good trust exercise that has validity. It isn't a fantasy. And I think you'll get really good personal prophetic information if you try that out. And then at the same time, I want people, including myself, to remember the things that were happening before this. For me, I just got really lucky because I think my faith in natural time is strong enough, meaning I'm just sort of dependent on it, that I was exhibiting behaviors that are expected of us now earlier in the year. And, you know, from like the overtone moon on. And so there was a kind of natural flow of my life before and after the pandemic. And I just think that's because, you know, I'm a believer in the calendar, and it to me has all the information in a very fluid way at the beginning of the year. And then we figure out, you know, what are the nuances of it as the year unwinds. So I remember last summer having this really clear awakening to being an extreme introvert. And it was not a surprise, but it was just kind of an admission. Talk about surrender. Just like, I am not good at being out amongst lots of people. I am socially awkward. I'm uncomfortable. It's exhausting. It seems like I'm so bad at it that I actually make people around me uncomfortable as well. So anyway, that was a kind of a apocryphal experience that came in with this new year. And I had like some introverts who demonstrated that behavior as a mirror that helped me feel really okay with it. Like, I like these introverts. I'm part of this world. And then here we all are in seclusion of a kind. Some of us are not at all alone, and I understand that. But for me, the journey into seclusion with the dogs is been pretty effortless because I had already had this magnetic tone, sort of triumphant awakening to solitude. So again, I am asking you to see through timelessness, to time travel back. It's pretty much the same assignment as the planetary moon exercise of going back to the lunar moon and seeing what were your challenges. But just please see how you were prepared in a effective way for what we're going through now. Your life, if you follow these calendars, already had the imprint of this really intense societal affliction that we're all navigating. And it's just a curiosity to see how the preview was there, the clues emerged early on. And that's just to get you in touch with the timelessness aspect of White Wizard, which just means that it's unclear what present moment is. Present moment includes a lot of, not necessarily reflection, but awareness of relationships and how they started long ago, but they're in present time. There's just these really cool tendrils that take us into the past, where we can see why things might be exactly as they are now. We look quickly in our mind's eye and see, oh, that's, it was all sort of implied by these past experiences, and at the same time, an implication of where the future is taking us. I think we can draw on that. And I'm, you know, going to finish that thought by saying, you know, I don't just make all this stuff up. Like, I definitely feel like I can channel to a certain degree, but it's in the hieroglyph. And that's where I, you know, place my trust and kind of I anchor myself in that so I don't get too eccentric. The hieroglyph is the picture of a shelter, which is the shaman's shelter. And there is an all-seeing eye above that particular healing sanctuary. So what I'm asking you to believe in is that you are in the sanctuary in this wave spell. It's amplified because you are in a year that is also living in this hieroglyph of the sanctuary of the shaman. And you are the shaman. I mean, you're all aspects of this diagram. You're the shelter, you're the person sheltering, and you are the shaman whose shelter you're, you know, invited in for a sojourn. And in that place, an all-seeing eye allows you to be not just visionary, you know, it's not like, how does the world work? It's not a logical eagle kind of higher-minded perspective. It's the eccentricity that we think of eccentricity means, you know, like it's out there perspectives on healing and connectivity and relationships that come with a healer's perspective. More on that as it evolves, but you know, it's in the hieroglyph that we are in a place where wisdom, insight, an opportunity to, you know, have divine intuition coursing through our lives, which leads to this feeling of enchantment and magic and synchronicity. All that is set up for us by the Mayan depiction on their carved day signs, the designs they left us. And, you know, I don't have time to touch into the next few days. You have to get through White Overtone Mirror and Blue Rhythmic Storm before we congregate again. And you know enough from earlier podcasts to understand that those days are both societally challenging. So let this Red Earth Day feel kind of like preparatory ceremonial purification. That is, Red Earth is exactly that. It's a day of preparing the ritual experience so that we can walk into the human sacrifice, the elements that White Mirror references, the human sacrifice ceremony tomorrow, and then Blue Storm will finish us, complete us, and bring us back to the sunlight. I am Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in La Cache.